This is XN Anderson, and welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I'm thrilled to have with us Patrick Ling. He's a best-selling author, he's a speaker, a radio host, an Army vet, founder and CEO of more than one company, one of which was Certainty Management. Patrick, thank you for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure, X. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, there's this, you have these companies that have the word certainty in them. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got started.
So I've been in sales and management for 40 years, right? If we go all the way back to selling Christmas wreaths as a Boy Scout and worked for some great companies over the years, some that there are things I wish were different. There's a lot of uncertainty in the workforce. And I eventually got to a point where I decided to start the kind of company I always wanted to work for. We kept the things we liked and we left out all the things we didn't like. And that was about 5.5 years ago. Since started Certainty Global, which is a JV technology firm, and a company called Certainty Holdings. And we believe there's a big need for certainty out there. And so that's our focus. And Certainty Management, just so you know, is a profitability firm. So we believe one of the best ways to create certainty for our clients is to help them become more profitable. You know, it gives them more opportunity, more peace of mind, more options, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of us in a nutshell.
Things that I was impressed when we had chatted earlier was about how you're saying, if you were to, as you want your company to grow, there's this process of giving to others. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and how that helps in business and in life, if you could.
Absolutely. So as a profit consulting firm, our focus is on helping our clients to make more and to keep more, really to improve their bottom line. But it's kind of like a three-legged stool. If you have a two-legged stool, it's going to fall over. There's a third piece to it, a third leg that I believe is critical, and it's both critical in business and also in life. And that third piece is that you are doing more than just business, but you're also trying to do good, right? We always say we want to do more than just make income. We want to make a difference. And I believe that desire to pay it forward, if you will, to put it out there, it's karmic in many respects. You know, the law of karma is real. The law of attraction, this principle that you put it out there, it comes back to you tenfold. So I tell my clients all the time, you know, we can help you make more, we can help you keep more, but we also encourage you to give more. And if you never figure that piece of it out, you will never become the company that you can be. So that's the third leg.
No, I appreciate that. One of the things that impresses me as you say that, sometimes people say, oh, you know, I'll give more when I feel like I have a little more cash or a little more time, or gosh, we're really struggling right now and I don't feel like I can give. And I think maybe it's exactly the opposite. I think actually when you're able possibly to stretch yourself and give, even when it's not comfortable, when things are tight, when things are a little bit, you know, uncertain, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I think it's then that the giving maybe does the best. Would you agree with that, or what are your thoughts on that?
I would 100%. You know, I really admire people like Warren Buffett, who are at this stage in their lives that they're giving away much of their wealth. I mean, they have this giving pledge that many billionaires have signed on to. They've committed to give 98% of their wealth away, which is, they're still going to have plenty left over, but you know, 98%, that's a big deal. But I firmly believe that if you can adopt that mindset earlier in your career and start giving sooner, it paves the path to other things. And it's not just about looking good or getting tax write-offs or whatever. It's about doing good and understanding that it is I really believe it's a universal principle, right? It's an internal principle that it paves the path and opens doors and windows. And in the process, you just feel better. I mean, you feel better about what you're doing. You don't just accomplish more, but you enjoy the process and you gain more satisfaction out of it in the process. And so you may not be able to give a lot of money right now while you're a startup or you're getting going. Maybe you have to donate a percentage of your time, right? Or, I mean, I'm a big believer in the principle of tithing. It says in the Bible that if you pay tithes, the windows of heaven will open up and pour out blessings you can't even imagine. Well, there have been times in my life where I couldn't afford to give a lot of money, but I donated at least 10% of my time, and it does. It comes back to you tenfold, and oftentimes a hundredfold.
I love that. I love that. I've seen that happen in business too. Sometimes just being the first to give something small, but being the first to give, I have a, I'm in, I've done a lot of sales, as you know, as well. And there was a situation once where I was sitting in a high level director's office in New York, and he told me that I was the only salesperson that he'd let into his office. And I was surprised because competition was fierce, but it kind of happened because I kind of accidentally stumbled onto the principle that you're talking about right here, Patrick, where was, we were just chatting with the secretary, and she was just this kind, outgoing, friendly person. And I was trying to resend an email that I'd sent before. And I said, I'm going to mention just how professional and courteous you've been. It was just kind of an offhand thought. And I sent this email to her boss that just said, I had the opportunity of speaking with Janice. She was very professional and helpful. I think she's an asset to your team, or something like that. By the way, I'm going to be in New York on these days. And I'd sent this email to her boss and her, not really thinking about it. But when I got to this high level director in New York's office, he said, you're the only salesperson I've let into my office, and it was because you were nice to my secretary. And I thought that was really interesting. It was just a little note that was complimenting her, a sincere compliment, not anything trying to be manipulative or anything. And but that little compliment was what got me and gave me an opportunity to present to this high level director. And it was kind of the same principle that you're talking about there, which just be the first to be kind, be the first to give, be the first to do something. And I think that
Go
principle
the extra
applied.
mile, right? Do the right thing, right?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I say go the extra mile, do the right thing, right?
Yeah, just do the right
Can
thing.
I
Go the
interject on something on that? Because I think it's important.
Sure.
You didn't do it just to be manipulative, because I actually think it's counterproductive. It backfires on you if you are. I
Yeah,
really
I think
believe
it
it's a
makes sense.
principle where the universe is saying, okay, you're doing it right. I'm going to unleash the floodgates. You're trying to take advantage. I'm going to hold back and maybe even make it counterproductive. And people read through it, right? If it's not genuine, if you're just given and you want to make sure you're seen because you're doing it, it will not have the same satisfaction or the same results as if it was genuine and authentic, trying to give back, right? And so that's been my experience anyway.
I think, Patrick, that's so important, exactly what you said, which is, if you're doing it to manipulate, if you're doing it to try to get somebody to do something or to get a certain result,
For sure.
it will backfire. And most of the time, people can sense that. So if you're trying to just be sincere and give to others, regardless of whether they give back to you, I think that's when, as you say, the floodgates open, right? And good things generally happen when we're in that right frame of I'm just going to give with no thought of trying to get anything in return. And
And the crazy thing is, X is that you don't have to kill yourself at it. You don't have to even have been doing it for a long time. You can just have the intent of getting something started and it starts to create those ripple effects, right? We made it a goal to start using what we're good at, which, our profit improvement efforts to help nonprofits raise funding. And we really see this as a way to reinvent fundraising, to find hidden dollars and see a portion of them go to worthy causes. Just when we had the idea, right, we started talking to people about it, we saw our company just take off, right? That we hit this momentum, this hockey puck or this hockey stick curve, and we hadn't even done anything yet. We just had a desire to do good, right? It's just started attracting things into our lives and opening up doors and windows. And we've continued from there, and we really are making a difference. We really are trying to make a difference. But I saw the the momentum turn and kind of start to, it's like we lit this flame that's growing into an inferno now, but it started when we just made the decision to do it. If that makes sense.
That's really, really interesting. And I think that brings us to another point too, which I'm glad you kind of touched on. You know, if you're doing it to be seen, if you're doing it to get accolades, you know, you brought up the Bible, you know, and this thought about, you know, even in Jesus Christ in the Bible said something to this effect. He said, you know, if take care that you don't do your deeds to be seen of men, and if you do, you've got your reward. Do some alms in secret. And I think that thought that from the master himself, Jesus Christ, who said, you know, if you can try to do some things with more, nobody sees it. That's where perhaps the best results can happen. And gosh, I
Yeah.
wish I was better following Jesus Christ. I'm not, but appreciate you saying that.
Well, I think your whole movement that you're doing of your dad fluence movement and effort and the nonprofit work there is an example of you doing exactly that, right? You're trying to follow his example, and
That's kind of you to say.
but
We have not
he
made it a
says if you do it
nonprofit
under the
yet.
very least of these, right? I mean, that's exactly what that's all about.
Yeah, at this point, we haven't transitioned yet into a nonprofit, and we probably should, but we're trying to help as many dads as we can. We're trying to help as many fathers as we can. And we
I
really, in my
love that.
view, Patrick, I'm glad you brought that. You know, for any of those listening who are dads, what we really need in the world today are dads who are willing to step up and say, I'm going to do everything I can to make my family work. Got some dads, you know, who are trying. Got so many good dads out there. But there's also dads who know deep down that they could do better, and I'm one of them. Okay. I'm one of the dads who knows I could do better. But what I'm saying is if we can realize that the most long-lasting effect we're going to have is with the people who are close to us in our homes, you know. You and I could build a big business. You've done great at building businesses. You've done great at founding and making things work. And perhaps, you know, many would like to follow in your footsteps. But the truth is, you know, the businesses that we build, statistically, I mean, they did a study, I think it was by McKinsey, that said that 71, the lifespan of businesses, even big ones like in the S&P 500, are 71% shorter than they used to be. They only will last about 18 years, even big businesses. And so our effect in a building a business, it may last a decade or two, maybe longer if we're lucky. But the kind of dad we are, the kind of person we are in our home life, is going to go on for a long, long, long time. The decisions we make in our family life can go on for a long, long time. And by the way, for those dads who are thinking, gosh, you know, I've kind of blown it or wish I would have done differently, we're all there with you. We've all done things that we wish we could do differently. But that's not the point. The point is we need you now. We need you to say, what, no matter what happened in the past, we're going to do our very best to be good dads. And
Can I add something to that, X?
sure. Yes.
I think of it as well, there's two thoughts, if I may. The first is I think of an analogy of driving down the road, right? We're never just in a straight line. We're constantly correcting our, turning the wheel a little bit, keep us in the path. And sometimes we take a wrong turn, or we're in the wrong neighborhood or whatever, and our GPS is saying recalculate, right? And that's what parenthood is. That's what fatherhood is. We're constantly recalculating and assessing. And am I headed in the direction? Are my kids going in, down the path that I want them to go, or do I need to recalculate? Right. Another verse I love from the scriptures talks about faith as a seed, and we plant this seed in our heart. And it says, if you just desire to believe, then give that seed a chance, let it grow. And if it's a good seed, it will spring up. But then it gives these three evidences that I think are applicable here. These three evidences that apply. And I know you're familiar with this verse, but anyone who's out there listening, so the first evidence is that you begin to feel it more, right? And so when you start to reprioritize and recalculate and try to just have that desire to be a good dad or a good business leader, and you're making that effort, you start to feel it more, you start to get excited about it. You're like, wow, this is actually working, right? And then it says you start to it starts to enlighten your understanding, right? You start to understand better how to be a good dad or a good business leader or a good husband or wife or whatever. And the last one is it becomes delicious to you, right? That's the third evidence that you're on the right track, you're on the right path, and you want it more. It's really what it's saying. You want to be a better daddy. The more you do it, the more you want it, and the better you're getting at it. And then it says, "Are you done yet?" No. You still got to till it and cultivate and water it, you know. You're never done. I mean, I have grown children now and they still call me for help and I'm still worried about them and still working at it. But it comes back to that earlier comment I made about when we make that decision to not just make income, but make a difference, not just make more and keep more, but give more. When you make that decision to be a better dad, to work at it, it's kind of like opens up doors and windows, and things start, people come into your life that can help, and opportunities appear, and things like Dadfluence come along that can help. And, I really believe the first step is that desire. And then you'll feel it more, you'll understand it better, and you'll want it more. And that's just the beginning, right? And then you got to keep going. But
I love that. I love how you said that. There was one thing you said, as you do more, you start to feel it more too. You said it just a little bit earlier, and it reminded me of something Stephen Covey had said. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which was written a few decades ago, had said something to this effect. He said somebody came up to him after this conference and said words that surprised him. He said, "I don't love my wife anymore." And Stephen Covey was a little bit surprised. I mean, who says that to somebody, right after a conference? And he looked at the guy and he said, "Well, then love her." And the guy said, "I don't love her. I've fallen out of love, and she's fallen out of love with me, and we're probably heading for a divorce." And Stephen Covey kind of looked at the guy and said, "Well, if you're not feeling it, that would be a good reason to love her." And the guy said, "Well, how do you love someone you don't love?" And Stephen Covey looked at the guy and said, "My friend, you're acting like love is a feeling. Love's not a feeling. Love's a verb. But here's the kicker: if you do the verb, the feeling will follow." It's kind of like you said, if you can just get yourself to do to love, you're not feeling like loving, being a good dad. Well, that's a good sign that maybe you need to go work on being a good dad, and then you will eventually feel like it, right? And that feeling grows because you can lead it with your actions. You can say, I'm not, I want to be a better business leader. I want to be a better dad. Well, I'm going to act, even though I don't feel like it, trusting that the feeling will follow.
Yeah, it's like any skill, right? I had a goal to become a better delegator, and I'm still not very good at it, but I keep trying and it's getting easier. I'm getting better at it, right? I was a missionary for 2 years in Italy, and I wanted to be able to learn to be guided by the Spirit. The more I did it, the better I got at it, right? It's like anything, right? You work on any skill, a language, you've got to do it to get better at it. And it's hard at first, but the more you do it, the better you get at it, the easier it gets. And pretty soon it's natural. You can do it without thinking about it. You develop that muscle memory, but it's hard at first, right? It takes effort, right? It's like working out or losing weight. You can't, doesn't just happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. You got to do it. You get better at it. In fact, I had this friend named Brody, just who did this workout called the Spartacus workout. Maybe I told you about this, but he did this Spartacus workout. He said he hated it. Because I don't know if anyone's he was listening, he's done the Spartacus workout, but my understanding is it's this very intense workout that makes you sore, muscle confusion, all kinds of things. But he committed to keep doing it. So he said, "I did it again the next day and I hated it. I did it again the next day, I hated it. I did it again the next day, I hated it. I hated it. I hated it." He kept doing it. He goes, "It was really interesting though. I kept doing it. And right around week 2.5 or 3, something changed. Instead of hating it." And I asked him this. I said, "Do you remember exactly which day it was?" And he goes, "I don't know. I don't remember the exact day, but it was right around week 2.5 or 3. I got to the end of this workout, and for the first time, something was different. I felt like I was just getting started. And that day I did the workout twice." He goes, and I liked it. It happened again the next day. I did the workout, got to the end, and I thought, man, this feels good. And he did it twice. And you see, it took 2.5 or 3 weeks for his feelings to catch up with his actions. So he had to kind of lead his feelings and say, okay, I'm going to work out, even though I don't want to. And then 2.5 or 3 weeks later, he felt like working out. Well, it's that principle you were talking about. Like, what if you said, I'm not going to work out until the feeling just kind of wafts in the window? Well, you'll probably never work out, right? Sometimes you got to work out before you feel like it, and then later on you feel like it. But I think that's the same probably in business, in being a father, being a good spouse, good husband, marriage partner. Those principles apply. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I look at my kids. You talked earlier about how we all make mistakes, right? Because we're learning as we go, right? One of my goals I had for my kids when they were growing up was that they would be confident. I didn't feel very confident as a kid in junior high, and I wanted them to feel differently. And so I kind of put them through exercises to help them learn confidence. I remember my son, who's 21 now, he was 5, and he didn't like his Happy Meal toy, right? And he wanted me to take it back and ask them to give him a different one. And we're sitting there across the restaurant at McDonald's, and I said, if you want to exchange your toy, you have to do that yourself, bud. You can do it. He's like, no. And I said, you can do it. Just walk up there and ask him if they'll give you a new one. Say, tell them you don't like that one and see if they'll swap it. And he looked at me with big open eyes and he said, okay, I can do it. And I still remember him walking up to this counter. He's shorter than the counter, right? I couldn't even see him until he holds his hands up and goes, can I swap my Happy Meal toy? And they loved it, and they gave him a new one. They even gave him two of them, and he was so blown away by that, and it boosted his confidence immensely, right? And so I've done lots of little tests like that, little experiences, and I think that's part of what we have to do as leaders, as fathers, as parents, is give our kids or our employees, our team members, opportunities to grow and to stretch and to become more, and sometimes they're harder than others. Sometimes it's just easy, but then they start to have these little successes, and it's kind of like that seed analogy I gave, right? They want to do it. They want to be a better employee. Hopefully, if they don't, you're in trouble. Sometimes your kids don't, but you want them to, but when they try it and they start to feel it more, they start to understand it more. They want it more. They say that confidence grows in the same way. A lot of parallels with that and that seed analogy, but I think we have to do the same for ourselves. We have to force ourselves to grow and to take on challenges, and in the process we stretch. But so it goes both ways, both in our own personal lives and in our parenting lives. And we can not only have a dad fluence, but we can have an influence on ourselves in the same way. And I think it's a key. Not only is it a key to success, but it's a key to finding joy in our lives.
Oh, wow, that's wisdom right there, Patrick. I really appreciate how you said that your child, you gave him something that was a little bit of a stretch for him, and they were even a little bit visibly uncomfortable, like, okay, I'll do it, right? That I think is one of the things that we as dads, if we step up, and even as business leaders, as you as a leader in your industry, to give people stuff that stretches them, right? So you could have easily just said, well, I'll go get it for you. And I think that's an error sometimes a lot of parents make, is they say, well, I'm better at it, so I'll just do it, right? I'm better at it, so I'll just do it. So I'll go get the toy. But to give them an opportunity to go do it themselves, and then they have that confidence that, oh yeah, I can go talk to the person at the counter. And I think those little tiny moments pop up all the time.
All the time,
Where we
every
can
day.
give, yeah, all the time, don't they? Where we can kind of give them, you can do this, you got this, and that confidence in their head, later on when we're dead, because at some point, Patrick, I know I'm probably more than halfway through my life, and I want my kids to be confident and be able to feel like they can do things without me. And I want them to hear that voice, even when I'm long gone, that says, you've got this, you can do this, you're gonna be fine, you got this.
Yeah, I mean, it really works. And when they see those successes and you celebrate them and compliment them and cheer them on, they compound, right? It's like following the spirit, like I said, you get better at it. You learn from both the times you didn't do it and you learn from the times you do it. Like I'll have an impression come to me. It says, "Remember your extra keys." It'll just pop in my head and I blow it off because I'm late, right? And then I lock my keys in the car and I think, oh, I should have brought my extra key. I even thought about bringing my extra keys. It was probably given to me, right? But I ignored it. And so sometimes we learn from the successes and other times we learn from the failures, the times we fell short. But it's so important, especially as a parent. I look at I mean, I talked about delegating, right? It's hard for me to delegate a lot of the time, and a lot of leaders will tell you this because it takes a while to explain to someone how to do it. You could have done it faster and probably better and so forth and so on. But it's so important because when you, for several reasons, I've learned that if I do delegate, one, I get more done because I'm not doing everything myself. And they actually do it faster usually. And they oftentimes do it better. But do you know that one of the biggest benefits that comes out of it, and it goes with kids too and parenting, is that it builds trust in them and it shows them that you trust them, even when they fall short, right? Even when they screw it up, it shows them that you had enough trust in them to let them try. And that builds the relationship, right? That builds depth in the relationship. So there's a lot of layers you can unpack there from delegating with employees. Or giving your kids challenges in the same way. It builds a relationship, it builds trust, it builds confidence. It's powerful. And so I try to remind myself that every time I try to do everything on my plate all by myself instead of giving it away.
That's
But
a
I
good
do, it
thing to press
pays
all the way.
dividends.
I need to be better, much better at that too. So thanks for the reminder on that, Patrick. That's a great
Absolutely.
point.
I'm still learning, but it's a good lesson to try to remember.
Well, and I think those little tiny daily, the little tiny opportunities to build confidence in our kids when they have something, I think I've mentioned this before, but my child comes to me and says, "Hey, I want a peanut butter sandwich." And I say, "Okay," and I just make them one. I can do it fast. I can make it in 20 seconds or 30 seconds or something. But when my young, if your child comes to you and they're young and they say, "Can you have a peanut butter sandwich?" You might say, "I think you could probably make a peanut butter sandwich. How do you think you should do it?" And let them, And the first time they do that, sometimes they just have that confidence of, "Wow, I just did it." Even if they made, if they've got peanut butter or jelly all over the floor, that's okay. Let them have that confidence of doing it the first time themselves. And even if it takes them 20 times longer than it would have taken you let them do it. And we're not in the business of making peanut butter sandwiches as parents. We're in the business of building confident kids. We're in the business of building people. And I get the feeling that's kind of the direction you're taking in your businesses as well, where you're saying, "Okay, if I can give people a challenge, sometimes they'll do it better than me." And we're in the business of giving and helping people rather than just trying to make an extra buck, right?
Yeah. I love the word empower, right? Because you are giving someone the power within themselves to do what they need to do, whether for themselves, for someone else, for the company, whatever the case may be. But you're giving them that trust and that empowerment and saying, "You got this, right? I believe in you." We have a saying in our business about our business model that's it's an acronym. It's PPG, and it stands for peak interest, pass the baton, and get out of the way. And so that's how we're a sales organization. So we peak interest with the clients, we pass them off to our vendors, and then we go get the next one. Well, the same thing happens when with employees and with children. We pique their interest, we engage them in what we're doing, and give them an assignment or ask for their help. We pass the baton and we truly give it to them. We don't micromanage them. We don't hover. We give it to them and make sure they have directions, make sure it's clear, but and then we get out of their way. That's the third piece. Too often as managers and as parents, we might give homework or assignments or we might delegate, but then we don't truly let go and let them and empower them to let them figure it out, right? We and when we do that, we're really forfeiting an extraordinary opportunity for them and for us. Even if they don't get it right, right? Even if they fall short and you have to clean up a little bit or correct something. But it's more the end result that you're shooting for is their growth and helping them become who they can become, even if it takes a little while, right? And it does take time. It does take patience. It does take effort. But the end result, the future payoffs, the future benefits and growth and confidence are so worth it if you will do that. So, gospel according
Indeed.
to Patrick,
I
right?
love that thought, Patrick. The gospel according to Patrick here is peak interest, pass the baton and get out of the way. And that's a good reminder for me because you're right. It sometimes takes a little longer. But what we're building is we're trying to build confidence in people and that getting out of the way, just saying, you know what, I'm gonna get out of your way because the underlying thing is you got this. You can handle it. I don't even need to get in your way because you got it. And I think that's an important message. Patrick, this has been wonderful chatting with you today, and I appreciate you taking the time. Is there anything else like that you would want to share with our viewers? You've had some great experience in business. You've given us some great gems here about parenting. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our viewers? And then after that, I'd like to ask where they can find you if they need to get a hold of you, and maybe you could answer those questions for us.
Sure. I keep thinking about this, the principle of momentum, right? We want our kids to have momentum to really get where they want to go. And we want our companies to do that, our employees to do that. I do a weekly talk show, as you know, podcast called Finding Certainty. And it's fun. I do an interview like you do every week, except for the first week of each month, I do a monologue. And I mean, going through the alphabet, focusing on principles of certainty. I did A is for accountability, and B is for balance, and C is for composure, and D is for discipline, all these principles. Well, January of this year, I've gone through I did all of last year, and then this year I did M is for momentum. And I shared principles, seven principles for how to create momentum in our lives. And I think it applies here because the first one was, having a vision or manifesting what you wanted. You got to have a plan, right? And the second step was to take action. And there was collaboration and mentorship. It helps to have those who've gone down that path before you to teach you the ropes and help you avoid the same mistakes they made. But then we got into this recalculation principle I was talking about. I think if you can, I would go check out that episode, anybody who's listening, if they'd like to, you can find it at certaintylife.com. But there's some good lessons in there about these concepts of how to not just get going and not just succeed, but actually create momentum, which is expanding progress, right? It's getting bigger and better. So I would just leave that with you. I think it's a good reminder. So,
Patrick Gray. So they can find you at certaintylife.com. Is that correct?
yeah, Certainty Live, LIVE.
Is that what is LIVE, Certainty Live? And we'll put that in the show notes. Any other way that they could get a hold of you, Patrick?
Sure, our website is certaintyteam.com. TEAM as in Mary, and our company phone number, if you want that, you can call me anytime, 888-684-3122. There's an interesting story behind our 800 number. If you want to ask me about it, I'll tell you. It's
Yeah,
kind of
tell
a
us
cool
about it
story.
quickly. That'd be great.
Okay, so in closing, I was looking for an 800 number that I could remember easily, and I found one that has it's 888, and then literally the numbers are the birth dates of myself, my wife, and our children. My son was born in, so it's 888-684-3122. My youngest was born in June, 6. My next oldest in 8. My next oldest in April, that was 4. My next in 3 in March. My oldest is born in December, that's the 1, 2. And I was born in February, I'm the 2. So 888-684-3122. All of our birthdays,
That's cool.
all of our
So
birth months. Yeah.
you've incorporated your family life even in your phone number of your business.
Yeah. Every time I see it, I think about my kids. Did I forget their birthday? No, hopefully not.
There you go. Patrick, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today. Any of you who want to reach out to Patrick, you've now got his number. We'll put the number in the show notes. And we appreciate you sharing your wisdom about giving. So important. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us, Patrick, today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, X. Looking forward to having you on my show here in the near future.
Well, I'll look forward to that as well. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Have a good day.
You too.